Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. It's Friday morning, and we got Pastor English here from Galloway Full Gospel over at Springfield, Missouri. He's going to share with us this morning, as he does every Friday morning. He also sits on Tuesday nights with Brother Curtis doing the question and answers. So appreciate Brother John and all he does. So, Brother, it's all yours this morning, and I'll let you have it from here.
Amen. Well, it's good to be here. And I tell you what, I trust that God has been good to you because I know he's been good to me. And I trust that the Lord is going to move this morning, and I believe he's going to bless somebody this morning. And, you know, his word is a powerful weapon. It's a weapon that is sharper than a two-edged sword. And the word of God, when it is proclaimed, the Bible says that it will not return unto him void. There is power in the word of God. There is power in the preaching of his word. There is power to set captives free, and there is power to change lives. And I just believe this morning that God's going to do something for somebody. So let's just go ahead and pray. And we're going to get into the scripture and just trust God. Father, we just thank you for your love and for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty anointing, for your mighty power, for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we just ask God this morning that you would let the power of your Holy Spirit rest upon this message. And that, Lord, you would touch the ears of everyone that would hear. And I pray, God, that you would touch my lips of clay. Father God, that you would give strength to my voice. I'm asking God in Jesus' name that you would curse the work of the adversary. Bind up every hindrance. Lord, we will give you the praise and the glory for it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I want to talk to you this morning. This will be the title. I hope it makes a little bit of sense. But listen, this is the title, Overcoming the Overcomer. Overcoming the Overcomer. Now, I think that most of us in this life, we've been through moments where the adversary came against us. We've been through times when we've lost something or we've been through a struggle. But when we go back to look at God's word, the Bible is full of promises of just how God will deliver us, how that God has given us the victory through Christ. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Bible says in so many places that God will give us and grant us the victory over the adversary. That no matter what we're going through, no matter what happens in our life, that if we'll place our trust in the Lord, if we'll place our trust in God. Now, you know, sometimes this seems like an old message, and I've heard that before, and I've been taught that before, and I've read that before. But can I stop and tell you this morning that however many times you've heard it or however many times you've read it in the scripture, that this is vital to our survival, that we must get to the point to where we begin to realize that God has given us the victory through Christ, that God has made the promise to you and to me that he is the God of every battle, that God, no matter what we go through, that there is a God in heaven that stands beside us to fight for us, to bring us through, to give us the victory so that we might overcome the overcomer. Ooh. Scripture says, and we're going to deal with King David here for just a little while. Scripture says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Remember the title this morning, Overcoming the Overcomer. Scripture tells us in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, when we read this verse, we've got to stop and realize that David was out fighting battles, and Ziklag was his hometown. That's where his family was. That's where he was living. The men that were fighting with him, that was their hometown. They had left to go out and fight battles. They had left to go out and fight the adversary. And when they come back home, when they come back to where they had lived, where they came back to where their precious family members had stayed, the Bible says that the Amalekites had burned Ziklag with fire. Now, I can only imagine how they must have been hit. They must have been coming home. They must have been going down the road, anxiously awaiting to get back to their families, to hold their wives and their children in their arms. How they must have anxiously been awaiting the moment when they would step back into their own homes after fighting the hard battle, after going through the struggle, after waging warfare against the adversary. How they must have been rejoicing on the road as they head towards their house. But the Bible says that the Amalekites, when they weren't there, when David and his men, when they weren't home, the enemy snuck in to Ziklag, and they had smitten Ziklag. They had burned the city with fire. You think about that. How it must have felt when they looked over the horizon in the direction of their home, when they saw that fire and the smoke rising up into the sky. How the fear must have struck their heart. How they must have wondered what had happened to their city, to their families, to their loved ones. The Bible said the Amalekites came, snuck in when they weren't there. They had burned that city with fire. That they had come along and they had brought great destruction. That they had come along and they had attacked when nobody was looking. Can I stop and tell you that's exactly how the devil fights? He sneaks around in shadows when nobody else is looking. He sneaks around in the darkness, and he attacks when we're not looking. Many times when we're not ready, there we are living this life, trying to wage warfare, trying to live in victory. And before you know it, suddenly we will look up in the sky, and we will see the smoke rising up. We will see the attack of the adversary. The devil will come when we least expect him. That's why the Bible says that he is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's why the Bible says that he is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. As I look at this story, I see a picture of what many of us have been through in this life. Many times we go through this life and we will find an attack of the adversary weighing heavy upon our shoulders. Many times without warning, the adversary will march against us. He will sneak in behind us, and he will begin to steal. He will begin to destroy. He will come along and he will bring great destruction. The Bible said the enemy had burned Ziklag with fire. We go on and read the scripture. And the destruction and the sorrow and the pain of what David was about to go through, it only gets worse as we begin to read again. In verse number 2, the Bible said that they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Not only had the adversary come and destroyed the city and burned it with fire, but the Bible says that the enemy had taken the women captives. He did not slay them. The Amalekites did not kill them, but they simply took them captive and they went on their way. In other words, they had kidnapped the women of the city. They had taken what was precious to all of those men. They had stolen the families of David and the men that were with him. Stolen them, kidnapped them, took them, and they went their way. So they destroyed the city, they burned it with fire, and then they stole the families of the men. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot even begin to imagine how they must have felt when they ran towards the city, when they looked up into the sky and they saw the smoke rising up above their city. Their heart must have been filled with fear. They must have started to run. And as they ran into the entrance of that city and they saw the destruction and they saw the works of the adversary and they saw the pain and the suffering, and then to find out that the enemy had stolen their wives. You talk about sorrow. You talk about pain and suffering. The adversary had come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Can I remind you this morning, that's exactly what our adversary does. That's exactly what he does when he sneaks in to the life of a believer. Imagine with me David and the men that were with him, their wives, they were precious. They loved their wives as any one of you would love your husband or your wife. They had left them safely in the city. Now the city had been destroyed. It had been burned with fire, and their wives had been stolen away by the adversary. Can I tell you again, the Bible said that our enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He lurks around in the shadows. He sneaks around when nobody can see him. He brings great destruction. He will come with great wrath. He will attack. He will bring every weapon in his arsenal against you and I. But not only does he steal, not only does he kill and destroy, but my Bible tells me that he is a thief. Thief that will come and take what does not belong to him. Imagine with me. You see, on that day, the enemy stole a lot more than the women of the city. He stole the joy. He stole the peace. He stole what was precious in the sight of David and his men. How many times have we allowed the devil to sneak in the darkness? How many times have we allowed the devil to come in when we weren't looking? How many times has he brought destruction and sorrow and pain? How many times has he stolen something from us that did not belong to him? Took something from us. How many times has he stolen our peace in the middle of the night? How many times has he stolen our joy? How many times has he ruined? How many times has he brought sorrow? How many times has he assaulted our faith in God? How many times have we been a victim of the thief? And we go through the story. I don't know about you, but I know what David felt like. I know how it felt when David looked up into the sky and saw the smoke rising up. I know how it felt when David ran into the city and realized that his family had been taken captive. Most of you today on the line, you know how David felt. Because you've been there when the doctor made the phone call. You've been there in situations and circumstances in your life. You've been there and you've watched the cruel hand of the adversary strike your life. You've been there when he stole your joy. You were there when he stole your peace, when he assaulted your faith, when he struck out against you and brought great destruction and stole away the very things that were most precious to your life. I know how David felt. I remember years ago, and many of you've heard this, I'll just touch on this. But I remember years ago when my oldest son David, he started to have headaches. We took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, there's a nerve that's misfiring in his head, and he's having migraines, and there's nothing we can do. We can prescribe this medicine, but this medicine's not going to fix the problem. It's only going to take away some of the pain. Here my little boy was, I think he was around 13 or 14 at the time, laying in bed with the lights turned off, a migraine headache tormenting him, and there was nothing the doctors could do. That same week, my wife went to the doctor, and the doctor came back, and they said, you've got cancer. The same week that my little boy, laying in the bedroom with migraine headaches, being tormented with pain, there then we received the phone call about my wife. And then the same week, my youngest son at the time, Tyler, a knot came up behind his ear. We took him to the doctor. The doctor did a test, and they said, it doesn't look good. We don't know what it is just yet, but it doesn't look good. All three of these events taking place at the same time, in the same week, I know what it's like to stand and look out across the things that I love and to see the smoke of destruction rise up into the sky. I know what it's like to feel as though the thief has come to steal away what did not belong to him. I remember what it was like when my peace was stolen, when my joy was stolen, when my faith was assaulted, when I saw the hand of the adversary weighing heavy against my children and my wife, when I saw the smoke rising up into the nighttime sky, when I saw the flames of hell burning at that which I loved. I don't have to imagine how David felt. I remember how David felt. And many of you today listening on this line, you know exactly how David felt. Because you've watched the fires of hell. You've seen the smoke rising up into the nighttime sky. You've watched as the thief has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. You've opened the doorway of your home, and you've seen the destruction of the adversary, and the enemy has stolen your peace. He has stolen your joy. He has assaulted your faith in God. What a tragic moment that must have been for David, standing there surveying the damage, the destruction, the theft, realizing that the Amalekites the sworn enemy of Israel, had marched through their city and had stolen away the things that were most precious to them. The Bible said they had burned it with fire. They had taken the women captive. In verse number 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. You talk about a struggle. You talk about brokenness. You talk about being a victim of the enemy, the attack of the devil. You talk about people weeping and crying. The Bible says those men of war, David and his mighty men, they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I tell you what, it doesn't matter how big you are, how strong you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been in church. Doesn't matter how big your faith is. When the adversary comes and steals from you, when the adversary comes and leaves destruction in his wake, when the adversary comes and begins to steal, kill, and destroy, hear me, sorrow will strike your heart. David and his men, they wept with great sorrow until they had no more power to weep. I've been there before. I'm sure you've been there before. I'm sure you have cried hot tears streaming down your face. I'm sure you've looked at the destruction of the adversary and you've wept aloud. You've cried. You've cried until you could not cry anymore. We go on and we read in verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. This is the turning point of the story. This is where the Amalekites, this is where their adversary begins to lose the battle. Oh, man. Because David, the Bible said he was greatly distressed. They were weeping until they had no more power to weep. David was greatly distressed because now the people of the city, they were talking about stoning him. In other words, the people that loved him now had turned against him. Ooh. Pain and sorrow had gripped that city. They started to talk about stoning David. And David was greatly distressed. Imagine with me how they must have felt. I don't know about you, but there's been times in the middle of our greatest tragedy. There's been times in the middle of the greatest attacks of the enemy against our life. There's been times when it seemed like nobody else was around us. When it seemed like I was standing all by myself. I know I had family standing in my corner. I know that I had some friends that were standing with me in prayer. But in that moment, after the adversary comes, after he leaves destruction in his wake, after he steals your joy and your peace and he assaults your faith, in that moment, you can feel like you're all by yourself. Okoramamanda de Dios. David was greatly distressed. Everybody had turned on him, and he stood there alone. This is where the story begins to make a turn. This is where the Amalekites begin to lose the battle. Because the Bible said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, come on, somebody. It didn't say David went to church and let the preacher encourage him. It didn't say the people of the city gathered around David and held his hand and encouraged him. It didn't say that David was able to go and to find family members to encourage him. But I believe that David stood there by himself in the middle of the rubble, in the middle of the destruction, with fires burning and smoke rising up into the nighttime sky. And David stood there alone. He stood there alone, but he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I was standing in the middle of the fire in the wake of the destruction of the adversary. I remember when I heard the words of that doctor, I heard him tell me, there's nothing I can do for your son. Then I heard them tell me that my wife had cancer. Then I heard them tell me that my little boy had a knot and that it didn't look good. Let me stop and remind, I had family that loved me, that was praying for me. I had a church that loved me and was praying for me. But in that moment, I was standing by myself in the middle of the fire, watching the flames of hell bring destruction. And in that moment, I had one choice. I had to encourage myself in the Lord my God. Again, I know many of you have heard the story, but I went out into the backyard. We had a bench sitting underneath a little pavilion in our backyard. And I tell you what, I went and I found a place. I bent my knee in prayer. No, the whole church was not gathering around me. No, I was there on that bench by myself, encouraging myself in the Lord. I got on my knees and I began to pray. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even feel like praying, but I got on my knees and began to call on the name of my God. I began to remind myself that his word says, by his stripes we are healed. I began to remind myself that his word says that the prayer of faith will save the sick. I began to remind myself that his word declared that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. I began to remind myself that I was more than a conqueror through him that loved us. No weapon formed against me would prosper. If God be for me, who in the world can be against me? I began to encourage myself in the Lord. And I'll tell you right now, that's the moment when the story started to make a turn. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David lays himself before God. And we read in the 8th verse, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Remember the title of my message. It was Overcoming the Overcomer. The overcomer had already marched through Ziklag, burned it with fire, destroyed the city, and stolen the wives and the children. the city had already been overcome. But now David, that man of God, that man of God that stood and encouraged himself in the Lord, he lays himself before the God of heaven and earth, and he inquires, he asks of God and said, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord, should I go after the enemy that's brought so much destruction upon my life? Shall I go after the adversary that has stolen from me? Should I go after the joy that rightfully belongs to me? Should I go after and should I chase after the peace that passes all understanding? Shall I go after the things I lost? He inquired of God, shall I pursue after this troop, this enemy, this adversary? Shall I overtake them? David is asking God, shall I gather my fighting men and shall we pursue? Shall we run after this troop? Shall we go after our, should we go after our families? And God answered him, listen, David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue. Ooh. Did you hear me? God's answer to him was, pursue. Go after the enemy that's brought destruction. Go after the enemy that's holding what's dear to you captive. Go after the thief. And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Oh, let me tell you again, this is where the battle changes sides. The story turned the moment that David fell upon his face and began to encourage himself in the Lord. The moment that David turned to God. Oh, let me tell you, the rest of the city, they were talking about stoning David. The rest of the city, they weren't laying on their face before the Lord. But my Bible tells me that in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the destruction, in the midst of the reality that the thief had stolen away, David found the courage to encourage himself in the Lord. He inquired of God, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? And the answer that came from God, he said, pursue, and you will overtake him, and you will recover all. I like that word, all. In other words, everything the devil has stolen from you, you're going to recover. Everything that was destroyed, everything that the enemy stole away, you're going to recover. Pursue, overtake, and you will recover all. In other words, you're going to overcome the overcomer. Hallelujah. You're going to overtake the one that destroyed. You're going to overtake the one. You're going to get the victory. Come on, somebody. You're going to get the victory over the one that brought great destruction in your life. Pursue. Overtake. And without fail, you're going to recover all. So David went. He and the 600 men that were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. and they found an Egyptian. And the Bible goes on to tell the story how they had pursued the enemy, how they had followed the enemy. They had found the enemy in where they camped, the enemy that burned Ziklag with fire. The Bible says that David finally catches up to them, and that the adversary was spread abroad across the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. David caught up to the adversary, and the adversary was celebrating his victory. The adversary was celebrating the fact that he had stolen from a man of God. The adversary was celebrating that he had stolen the peace and the joy. He had assaulted the faith. The Bible said the adversary was eating and drinking, dancing, celebrating. David pursued after them. David overcame the overcomer. The Bible says in the 17th verse, listen to this. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. David waged warfare against the adversary that had brought great destruction upon his life. Remember, this is the same adversary that burned his city with fire, the same adversary that had destroyed the city, the same adversary that had stolen the wives and the children. David waged warfare against his adversary, the overcomer. David was overcoming. The overcomer. He smote them from the twilight to the evening of the next day, and none of them escaped the edge of David's sword. Verse number 18. Well, let me stop and tell you. On my knees at that bench, crying out to God, waging warfare against the adversary. There comes a time when you and I have to get on our knees and fight the battle that is set before us. The Bible said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I understand your battle is not against flesh and blood. David, the picture of the story, his enemy, his adversary, was manifest in the physical form. Yes, he saw the adversary encamped before him. It was a physical fight with spiritual implications. As David lifted up his sword to strike the adversary, so must we lift up the sword of the Spirit and strike. As David held his shield in his arm, so must we hold the shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. As David marched forward, fighting, waging warfare, so must we get down upon our knees, take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and step onto the battlefield against the adversary. The same adversary that has brought great destruction to your life. The same adversary that has burned your city with fire. The same adversary that has stolen away from you the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes all understanding. The same adversary that has assaulted your faith and attacked your body with sickness. The same adversary that has come against your family. We have to fight the battle that is set before us. We could choose to be and to do like many Christians. Notice the Bible said that David, he rode out with 600 men, but only 400 rode into battle. Because 200 stayed behind because they were too faint, too tired to cross over the brook. So many people in the church today, they're too weary. They're too faint. They don't have the courage. They don't have the faith. And they simply stand back and watch as the adversary brings destruction and steals away from them things that are most precious. Many times there's people in the church, there's people maybe even on this line that don't even put up a fight. They don't understand warfare. Their faith isn't strong enough. They're too weary. They're too tired. They're too faint. They're too brokenhearted. They're too full of sorrow. They don't have enough strength to pick up the sword of the Spirit. They don't have enough power to hold on to the shield in the middle of the battle. I ask you this morning, will you be one of the 400 that marched into battle? Or will you be one of the 200 that stayed behind because the battle was too great? You see, anybody can say, oh, Brother English, I would fight. Oh, Brother English, I'll pick up that sword of the Spirit. But when it comes time to fight, that's the test of your faith. Will you be one of those that steps onto the battlefield in the name of Jesus Christ to wage warfare against the very adversary that has brought destruction and has stolen from you? I remember getting on my knees praying. I remember weeping and crying before the Lord. Let me go on to the next verse. The Bible said David smote them from the twilight even into the evening of the next day. There escaped not a man of them. Verse number 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. David recovered all. Listen to this. David recovered all. I will tell you this morning, the secret to David's victory in this battle is his faith in God and his willingness to pursue, to overcome the overcomer. His secret was that he encouraged himself in the Lord. David was like all of the other men. He wept aloud. He cried till he could not cry anymore. Sorrow had gripped his life. He had watched the fire burn, the smoke rise, and his family taken away. But David encouraged himself for the Lord. He pursued, he overtook, he overcame the overcomer, and he recovered everything that the adversary has stolen. He recovered his two wives, his children, all of the men that recovered. Nothing was lacking to them. In other words, they recovered every ounce of what the adversary had stolen. They recovered all of their joy. They recovered all of their peace. They recovered everything that the enemy had stolen. Kneeling down on my knees at that bench, crying out to God. You say, well, how'd the story come out? Suddenly my oldest son, suddenly without any reason, his headaches absolutely stopped, and they never returned again. The doctor said that could not happen. There was a nerve that was misfiring. There was nothing they could do. He would have these headaches for the rest of his life. And suddenly, they stopped. The little knot on the back of my son's head behind his ear, suddenly, it disappeared. You say, oh, preacher, you're just making this up. I am telling you the gospel truth. That knot behind his ear, it was gone. And suddenly, my wife, they called her into the doctor's office. They said, you've got to come right now. She walked into the door. They gave her the report. They said, there's nothing we can do. It is worse than what we thought. And suddenly, God brought victory. And she was healed. She went back to the doctor. They said, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happening. But there's no more cancer in your body. See, Brother Inglis, what happened? Through the power of the Holy Ghost and the written word of God, we overcame the overcomer. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the promises of his word, we overcame the overcomer. And I will tell you this morning, somebody on this line, you have witnessed the destruction of the adversary. He has burned your city with fire. You've watched the smoke rise up in the nighttime sky. You have watched as the adversary has carried away. And you've wondered if you're going to overtake, if you're going to pursue, if you're going to recover all. God said to David, pursue, overtake, and without fail, you're going to recover all. Today, I challenge you, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I know we've heard that 100 times. Today is the day that you must make that a reality in your life. That you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the giver of victory, the God of our battle, Roma, the healer of our body, the deliverer of our soul. That you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get down on your knees and begin to wage battle against the adversary. Take the sword of the Spirit and begin to strike the adversary. Begin to proclaim what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. There is power in his word. There's power when you begin to strike at the adversary with the word of an almighty God. Understand, the enemy trembles at the saint of God that is armed with the power of God's word in his heart. Roma Badaris. You, I, we, David, the men of that city, had the purpose in their heart. We're going after the adversary. We're going to go into the enemy's camp, and we're going to take back what he stole from us. And through the power of an almighty God, they waged warfare against the adversary. They won the victory, and they recovered all. And I will tell you this morning, the moment that you purpose in your heart, don't be like the 200 that were too tired and too faint and too sorrowful and too beat down and too weary to cross the river. Don't be like that one that will just lay there and let the devil kick them and steal. No, the devil steal away from you what rightfully belongs to you as a child of God. That joy inside your heart, it belongs to you because of Christ and the work of the cross. The peace in your heart, it belongs to you because you're a child of the Most High God. Today, putting your faith in the God of heaven and earth, I challenge you. Pursue, overtake, and by faith in God, you're going to recover all. And I believe right now, in the name of Jesus, that God is about to give you strength. He's about to give you courage. And I believe that God is going to give you the power to overcome the overcomer. I'm going to say a prayer with you right now. And as I pray, I want you to pray. I want you to purpose in your heart that you're going to trust God, that you're going to go after the enemy. Let me tell one more story. I know I've got to hurry, but I'm going to tell one more story. One day I was at the church in Dallas, and I walked out into the parking lot where my car was. And I looked over, and my window had been broken. On the passenger side of my vehicle, I ran over, I looked inside, and the glove box had been opened up. And everything was strewn throughout the car. And inside the glove box, I had two really expensive walkie-talkies, two radios that belonged to the church that we had bought to communicate with one another at different parts of the building. I had put those in my glove box, and somebody had broken into my car, opened the glove box, and stolen those walkie-talkies. And I remember that moment feeling so violated. I could not believe that somebody would come up onto the church parking lot, break into my car, steal something that belonged to the church. I jumped in my car, started it up, and I sped down the road. I went in one direction and I didn't see anybody. I turned around, and I went in another direction, and I didn't see anybody. And I turned back around and went the same direction again, and finally, I saw somebody walking down the road. And I looked, and guess what they had hooked on their belt? You got it? The church radio. I drove up to them, pulled up along the side of the street, jumped out of my car, and I said, "Hey! You should have seen them jump." I said, "Hey, you're about to give me those radios." They said, "What are you talking about? We don't have anything that belongs to you." I said, "You're lying. You broke into my car. You took something that belonged to the church. And I'm telling you, you're about to give them to me or I'm going to take them from you." Now, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. There were two of them, one of me. But I am convinced to this very day that I could have took them if I had to. Come on, somebody. I said, "You're about to give me those, or I'm going to take them away from you." Now I'll tell you, standing right there on the side of the road, they reached down on the side of their belt. They took those radios off of their belt, and they handed them back to me. I will tell you this morning, you can go and get back what the enemy stole. You, on this line, the adversary may have come with great destruction, but you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, arm yourself with his word. Take up that shield of faith. Cross over that river. Pursue, overtake, overcome the overcomer. and recover all. Let God arise and let your enemies be scattered. As I pray this morning, purpose in your heart that you're going to wage warfare against the adversary that has brought great destruction to your life. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy and your grace, for the power of your word. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus right now that you would touch my brothers, my sisters, the ones listening on this line right now today. And Father God, the ones that might listen in the future. Father God, if they hear this message, I pray that you would quicken in their hearts, that you would grant them strength and courage to fight the battle that is set before them. God, I am asking you right now that you, Father God, would give them the power to overcome the overcomer. And that, God, you would let them recover everything. I pray that you would restore unto them the joy of their salvation. That you would grant to them again the peace that passes all understanding. That you, Lord, would bring healing to their body. Asking God now that they would recover everything that the adversary has carried away. They would march into the enemy's camp and take back what the devil stole from them. Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and I ask that God, great faith would come alive in their hearts on this day. And I give you the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name, and I give you all the glory. And I thank you for it right now. Amen and amen. Now, in just a moment, Brother Skip's going to come on this line. He's going to give you information. He's going to tell you how that you can contact him and Curtis. And I will tell you, if you've heard this message and if you're going through something, reach out to Brother Skip. Reach out to Brother Curtis. Get in touch with us. And we'll pray for you. We'll fight the battle with you. If you want to get in touch with me, you can find our church on the internet at GallowayFullGospel.com. Go to our website. Find out more information there. You can also download a free mobile app for your iPhone or your Android. There are sermons and videos and contact information, and we would love to hear from you. But again, purpose in your heart. I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to fight like a man. I'm going to fight like a woman of God. And I'm going to overcome the overcomer through the power of the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor English. Powerful message this morning. Very powerful. If you would like a copy of this message or any other messages we have or testimonies, you're welcome to those. Those are free of charge. You can contact me at 816-729-6649. Like Pastor said, if you need someone to talk to or pray with you, contact us that number there, either call or text, or you can go to extendedhandsofgod.org. All our contact information is there. You can email us, our email on there is all on there, and everything else, and you can just contact us, and we'll get back in touch with you. And be glad to hear from you, talk to you, pray with you. We also have a playback number of this line, and that is 605-562-0029 with access code of 812-193-714. And this is a recording number. Recording number 135. You can share with friend or family. Listen to it again. Any other messages are on there. You're welcome to do so. Thanks for joining us here at the Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries, and God bless.